Starsology Astrology Podcast. I am your host, Alison Price, and I'm here with my good friend and co-host, Arwen O'Neill.
Hello, Alison. It's great to be here.
It's so nice to have you again. So in this episode, we're going to be talking about bundle charts.
Yeah.
So bundle charts refers to the actual shape of the chart.
Yeah.
The shape that the planets make within the chart, well, any shape actually, but we're specifically talking about the bundle chart because we've got one that's unfolding during April and May.
Yeah.
So the specifications to have the definition, I should say, for a bundle chart is that all the planets have to be within a trine.
Yeah.
So, and the planets we're counting is we're going from the Sun up to Pluto. We're discounting Chiron, the nodes, anything else, Eris, and all of those things,
yeah.
Because really you want a quality count, not a quantity count.
Yeah.
So when we look at the chart, and the chart I'm actually referencing is for May the 7th, 2024, and that's on the blog post if you want to have a look at the actual chart. I'm not going to give you the details because during April and May, this bundle is in play for quite a long time, except when the moon sweeps around and then it creates a different shape altogether.
Right. Yes, of course, because the moon moves so quickly.
Yeah, so the moon will move out of the bundle.
Yeah.
So what's actually happening is that with the bundle, you've got all the planets are within this trine, so they're all within 120 degrees.
Yeah.
And it's all on the one side of the chart.
Yeah. It's interesting. I mean, like, chart shapes became only a thing after, like, in this century. This is not something that the ancients talked about. And Mark Edmund Jones is credited with like defining the seven chart shapes.
Yes.
Which is super interesting because we tend to think of astrology concepts as being, you know, ancient times.
Yeah.
But there are certain things that are very modern concepts, and the chart shapes are one of them.
I think it's very interesting when we've got modern astrologers coming up with newfangled ideas of how to interpret charts.
For sure.
I really do.
Yeah.
And, you know, even people who are listening today, over to you, come up, bring your thoughts forward, whatever your research happens to be, because it's super interesting.
Sure. It's funny too, because the names of them really do reflect when they came about, like in the early 20th century, like, because bundle, bowl, bucket, locomotive, I mean, those are very early 20th century sounding names, you know?
Well, steampunk almost.
Yeah. Right? For sure.
Yeah, so there are several different shapes, and we've just been looking, and the most common shape is the splash shape.
Which I have, guilty as charged.
A lot of people do have that, because it's just basically you've got the planets all over the place, and then there are different shapes. We can go into those a bit later on, maybe. But the bundle that we're talking about in April and May 2024 is a tight bundle, and you can only really have a bundle when all the outer planets are within that trine as well.
Yeah.
So during years when Neptune's up here and Pluto's over there and you're getting T-squares, you can't have a bundle.
Right, absolutely. So would you say that this is the most rare of these?
Yes.
Yeah, neat. Interesting.
It is, and it only lasts for a while. It's been in place since April. Mm-hmm. So what it is, when we're looking at the chart, we're starting at Pluto, and that would be called the leading planet of this, mm-hmm. as the planets rise. So Pluto would be the leading planet of this bundle, and then it goes in the particular chart I'm talking about for May the 7th, then it goes Saturn, Neptune, Mars, Chiron, Mercury, Venus, Sun, Moon, Uranus, and Jupiter. Now, only last week, Jupiter conjoined Uranus, and prior to that, Uranus was the trailing planet, and it was actually a tighter bundle, but Jupiter swapped positions with Uranus, so now Jupiter, although it's still a bundle, because we're talking about it, Jupiter is now the trailing planet.
Yeah. Interesting.
So earlier in April, it was Pluto to Uranus, and Jupiter was tucked in, but now Jupiter's kind of pushing out, and I thought, we've got to get this episode out while we've still got the bundle sitting there. So what we find, too, is that in this particular chart, that Pluto and Jupiter are actually trine, but they are less than, because of the orb, they're actually less than 120 degrees, so it's definitely a bundle.
Interesting. Yeah.
And as soon as Jupiter moves away and breaks away from that trine, it will no longer be a bundle. It then becomes a bowl, which is crazy.
Yeah, totally.
So it's a kind of an interesting pattern. And once Jupiter's moved away, we're not going to have a bundle for a long, long time, because Jupiter is creating the inability for a bundle, because it has to be within the trine, and the outers define these things.
Right. Yeah, because the moon is just all over the place. Yeah,
yeah,
exactly.
Yeah.
Neat.
So it's this particular bundle is lying over Aquarius, Pisces, Aries, and Taurus. So all the planets are all within four signs.
Yeah.
Now, admittedly, it's a good variation because you've got, you know, fire, earth, air, and water, and it's kind of a good spread, but it's a concentrated spread. So generally with bundle charts, you've got the specialist.
Right. And in this case, they're not all in the transpersonals. They're, some of them are in transpersonal and some are in personal.
Yeah.
But it's all kind of, it's all very concentrated.
It's concentrated. Yeah. It really is. And it's bringing a focus at the moment in this particular chart. As the moon is moving through, where in this particular chart, Taurus has got five planets out of the 10. So anyone born in the April and May that we're talking about is going to have this concentration of energy, particularly in Taurus, because five planets are there. Then we've got three in Aries, and then two in Pisces, and just Pluto in Aquarius.
Yeah. And it's interesting. We talked about in a very recent podcast about the Jupiter-Uranus conjunction and the fact that it's in Taurus and how interesting that is as a generational marker and the creativity and the innovation in Taurus realms, and anyone who is born with that aspect in their chart, like
it's huge. It's really huge.
Really interesting bunch of stuff. It's a bundle of stuff.
It's a bundle of planets bundling in.
Yeah.
And these tend to produce specialists because you've got all this focus, particularly in May on the Taurus, because the moon happens to be there too. So the point being that where Taurus is in your chart, you are going to get this whole stream of planets coming through because they're all bundling in that area, stimulating it by transit in your houses.
Yeah, like a chain reaction.
Yes.
Like one thing setting off the next thing, setting off the next thing, setting off the next thing, like a bunch of fireworks going.
Exactly. And because we look at it differently, we say, well, it's really going to be Taurus. So wherever Taurus and Aries lie in your chart or my chart, that's where the energy is actually going to be focused as the bundle becomes tighter.
Right.
So, for instance, these transits of this concentration of planets for me is in my 8th, 9th, 10th, and 11th houses, right at the top of my chart. And that's where all the planets, all the transits are happening for me.
Yeah.
And they're all making a point of crossing my midheaven. Thank you very much. So it's a lot more going out there than I have in many years. So,
interesting.
Yeah. So in your chart, which houses is this concentration of planets for you?
Right. Well, Taurus is on my 7th house cusp, and I've got Mars there. So it's really going through my 6th, 7th, and 8th houses.
6, 7, and 8 for you. So it's quite a tight concentration of stimulations of these areas.
Yeah, right? And I mean, like when you think about those house meetings, I've definitely been focusing a lot on work and a lot on my social life. I've had a lot of socializing going on, and it's only going to get more intense because the weather heats up and people want to go out and do things. And most of the people I know have birthdays between the, Taurus and Scorpio sort of months.
It's all go. This is it. And the thing is, because in your particular case, say, for instance, you've got all these planets now, they're sitting in 6, 7, and 8, 5, 6, and 7.
Oh, yeah.
It's not like you're just saying, oh, I've got the sun in my 6th house. Yeah. You've got 5 planets in your 6th house. Right. Bringing more attention, more focus. You're having to focus yourself on what you're doing at work, how you're communicating at work, what you're wearing to go to work, and whether you love what you're doing or not, and this and that. And there is a total focus on these areas. Yeah. So it's actually quite interesting.
Yeah. I just had to laugh when you said what you're wearing to work, because we all know I work from home. So what I'm wearing from the chest up matters. And
And this is it,
But it matters a lot,
And also, your background, if you're Zooming on that, you've got to have.
I digress. This is my first digression of the podcast. So if you're playing at home, take a drink. So last week I was having a meeting with this lady, and my cat jumped up onto the desk behind my laptop and was messing around with something she shouldn't have been messing with. And I said, oh, I'm so sorry. Because I'm leaning towards the laptop, like where the camera is, and I must have looked weird. And so I said, oh my God, my cat's like behind my laptop doing something naughty. And she goes, "Now, Arwen, you can't just say the cat. You have to show the cat."
Oh.
So I showed the cat. But yeah, it's a rule, you know.
It kind of is. Yeah. And they're photobombing all these.
For sure.
And have them for quite a while. Cats are the worst, aren't they? They just walk straight in and sit down.
Well, the one was already on my lap. And then the other one just had to get away with something.
Yeah. The cats are okay because they just walk along and sit on the keyboard. It's dogs that are scratching themselves in behind you that you can't see.
I love dogs, but I'm not having a dog person. I'm a borrowing other people's dogs for a few minutes person.
Yes. You know, if it's dogs and cats, I'm definitely a cat person too. Yeah. So this is interesting. And then the other two, of course, Uranus and Jupiter, they're in the seventh house, bringing that focused concentration, which we did speak about when we spoke about the Jupiter conjunct Uranus episode. That's already starting something going on in your seventh house. But then as these other planets come through, and they will, the Sun, Venus, Mercury, they're all coming through. Mars eventually will get through there.
Yeah.
And it's like whatever these first planets through your houses by transit are setting the stage for, the other planets are coming through and adding their color, their tone, or their cement onto what's unfolding.
Yeah, it's super interesting. So even if you don't have this kind of this rare pattern in your chart, you can study what it's going to do when it affects, and everyone's going to be affected in some way. I mean, everyone has something.
Exactly.
Unless, of course, you have a bundle that's on the other side.
You know, this is the thing.
But then it'll be in opposition, so it's still happening.
So again, if you've got planets, as you do in your sixth and seventh houses, these planets are getting conjunctions by transit during the course of this year from virtually all the planets that are coming through.
Mm.
So they are being highly stimulated by conjunction, and this is the important thing. And, of course, we're not even mentioning this crossing your descendant where your serious partnerships, there's going to be some shift in the energy there in one way or another. You know, you can tell us about it when something unfolds.
Yeah, totally.
But
it's, I will.
the writing's on the wall. And you've got to see that these planets are coming through. And as an astrologer, look out for them.
Yeah, absolutely. So as we said earlier, Mark Edmund Jones, and he was an astrologer from the early 20th century. He was born in 1888, died in 1980, lived a nice, healthy 90-some years. He identified these seven chart patterns, and he described them in his books, and these are like classic astrology books. But the seven patterns, as we alluded to earlier, are the bundle, the seesaw, which is where the planets are clustered in two different sections of the chart, the bowl, where everything is in one half of the chart.
That's what I've got, yeah.
The bucket, where everything is, it's basically a bundle, but with one thing on the other side. So it looks like a bucket with a handle. So you've got all the stuff in one little section, and then one planet on the other side. A splash, which is where everything is just kind of splayed out randomly. A bundle, which is what we're talking about, where everything is within 120 degrees of the chart. A locomotive, where everything is in three quarters of the chart, which is interesting. And then the leading planet is the kind of the important marker of it. And then the splay, where everything is in three sectors and pretty much evenly distributed. So that's like a trine, like it's like a grand trine chart where there's
like
three
a tripod
little,
thing.
Three little clusters. Yeah. So what he says about the bundle is that this formation gives the individual a tremendous focus in life. As we said, they're the specialist, enabling them to accomplish much in their area of concentration. And a high concentration of planets produces a personality that's intense, unrelenting, and pursuing their personal interests with a great deal of fervor and success. So this often comes with a very, this person's, you know, almost like laser focused. Like sometimes they can be too, you know, focused on one thing, but and not have a lot of perspective. But I'm thinking that this would be really great for like some kind of an engineer or, you know, some sort of a like physicist or something like
Doc
that.
Doc Brown, I always think of for this one.
Yeah, that's hilarious. Exactly. So deep concentration, persistence, and commitment and specialization in one particular area.
They really are master of one thing and jack of nothing, or however you say that, the other way around.
Yeah, it's interesting though, because when you have a bundle, you don't have all of their planets in like one element or one mode.
That's right.
You know, so it's not like a grand time thing where you could actually have a huge concentration in Earth, for example, and you really have a very obvious personality. Like this personality might seem like a kind of a fanatic and a, you know, specialist, but they wouldn't seem quite as one-sided as someone who's like got, you know, 9 out of 10 planets in Earth and yes. maybe one thing in water or something.
That's a good thing.
You know?
Yeah.
So maybe they're more, I don't know, more good at focusing their energy.
Absolutely.
Because they've got a little more variety. I mean, if you have three, three signs where all of your planets are, you know, clustered, they're going to be very different. You're mm-hmm. going to have maybe like what, Aquarius, Pisces, and Aries.
Yeah.
Like that's incredibly different, you know.
This is it. The trick is with the bundle that because the widest aspect you have is a trine,
yeah.
you will get squares, but there are no oppositions.
Oh, that's interesting.
So yeah. those challenges from outside, those external dilemmas and challenges from where you're projecting, yeah. they don't have any. Whereas every other yeah. kind of person mostly does have.
So how that's interesting because yeah. we always think about like how this affects a person, but then how do they relate to others? So is this the kind of person then who will seek out those conflicts externally, or will they block out any kind of influences that contradict their, you know, their motivation and what they're yes. trying to do? And will they just be laser focused and barreling through and ignore the influence of others, or will they need that influence from others to complete their tasks?
That is a great question, because when we do relationship astrology,
yeah.
where you've got someone who's got everything within a trine, mm. they actually seek out people who fill that gap.
That's interesting.
So technically this then would be the locomotion where yeah. They're filling the other part.
Yeah.
And then you can say, she completes me.
Yeah.
Because suddenly you're seeing the other perspective and thinking, right. I never knew about that. I hadn't seen it that way, because they're yeah. so concentrated here. Right. They're really only seeing life through a very narrow vision,
yeah.
or what do you call that? A window,
yeah, like an aperture.
Aperture. So, what goes on in these outsides and in these other sides is often a mystery.
Yeah.
Until they meet someone, and it's usually your serious partner.
Yeah.
Will actually fill that gap. They don't tend to find partners that mimic their gap.
Yeah.
Mimic their bundle because
what would be the point? They've got it.
Then you're marrying, yeah. you know, you're marrying yourself, aren't you? We're trying to find. They do say, don't they? Opposites yeah. attract. So anyone who's got locomotion or even planets on this side that will challenge through opposition
yeah.
to this is actually going to get their attention, but they're not necessarily going to understand it straight away.
Right, but it will also probably, in the old sense of like, you know, the other person who completes you, like they might actually enable this person to be more successful in life because they're so tunnel visioned and they're so good at what they do that they might, I'm thinking of, as you say, like the absent-minded professor who is really good at his science, but like his clothes are a mess. He can't yes. function socially, but then he meets someone who has all the stuff he lacks and she can keep his appointments for, we're being sexist, but yes. whatever, it doesn't matter.
This is how it is.
The partner can complete those things where he is literally useless and,
yeah.
and
get a haircut. No, you know, right. this is it. And
yeah,
you know,
yeah, file your taxes, do your, you know, dishes or whatever.
Yeah. yeah. So it's actually an interesting thing when you've got this concentration of planets mm. and you lack that opposition, you lack that ability to reflect and project to the yeah. other and say, what about that? So you don't have that.
Yeah.
So this is, although you've got squares, which of course are your internal dilemmas where you're yeah. saying, should I do this? Should I do that? That's different. But again, it's more internal.
Yeah.
Whereas people who've got the locomotion that would fit that kind of thing, they've got a lot more. They're all over the place and they've got a lot of interests and they
yeah.
communicate better with people from all walks of life and yeah. they've got a spread through their houses. So they're a bit more balanced.
And it's funny because even if you're not a bundle, I can think of an example where I don't have anything in Gemini, right? But I do yeah. tend to attract Neither Gemini do. Friends.
Oh.
Strangely, occasionally, but once in a while they'll bring like an amazing insight because Geminis are wonderful for this. They'll bring this insight and you're like, oh, I never thought of that. Wow. You know? And one of the things that a Gemini friend once, I was preparing for a visit from, my father's side of the family, my father, his wife, his two kids. And we were just scrambling to clean up and I was like, oh my God, we have all these papers and stacks of things. And what am I going to do with all this stuff? And I'm literally trying to think of like how to organize all this stuff perfectly before he arrives, which was like the next day. And my Gemini friend goes, just put it under the couch.
Whoa.
Which had literally never occurred to me. And I kind of stopped in my tracks. Like, it was a terrifying yet brilliant thought. I could just shove it under the couch and no one will see it. I'll know. But
no one will know.
Perfect solution for now, which was, what I did.
Super interesting. Yeah.
So use those things that are the opposite of what you have, whether you have a bundle or...
This is the thing that even we all have, you've got to play the hand you're dealt. And if you were dealt a bundle, astrologically, we want you to build up the self-awareness of it. And you do that, of course, by bringing people into your life that basically fill your voids.
Yeah, we all have blind spots. And the bundle, even though they're a specialist and they're amazing at certain things, will have more blind spots than the rest of us.
That's right. And again, it depends exactly where this bundle is lying. If you do have a bundle, which area is it lying on your chart? So it's kind of interesting.
Super interesting.
So let's just have a closer look at the leading and the trailing planet in this particular bundle.
Yeah.
So when you've got a leading planet, it's the one furthest away clockwise in the bundle. And so it acts as a focal point and a guiding force for the whole energy of the entire bundle. So in this case, it's Pluto. And so I just want to go through a couple of significations for what a leading planet signifies. So it tends to be the dominant energy. So even though it's Pluto and it's retrograde and it's in Aquarius, we are still, it's still a dominant in this bundle if we're talking about shape.
Okay.
So it sets the tone for the whole chart's energy, and its qualities and characteristics can be emphasized and often color how the individual approaches life. So in this case, it's an outer planet, it's Pluto. It's becoming strong because of its position leading the bundle.
Right.
So this definitely brings focus and attention and can indicate, of course, the area of life that is most important or central to them. The leading planet can point to the person's strengths by the nature of its planets, its talents and natural abilities. But, of course, on the flip side, the leading planet can also highlight challenges or areas of growth for the individual. So this planet is becoming... important, and if you're reading charts for people and you've got the bundle, you need to say this leading planet, I need to look at that.
Yeah.
So on a more subtle level, it can show the personal mission of the person. So even though this is maybe you think, oh, this is a pretty cat person, they've got Pluto leading their bundle, they're going to have nerves of steel behind them. You know, this is your bringing the strength thing, because this planet becomes the leader of the pack.
Right.
Now, it could also be the chart ruler if you've got Scorpio rising. It could be most elevated if it's near the midheaven. So it can have other position as well, but it actually has position as the leading planet within the bundle. So that's why it's important.
Yeah.
And then if we have a look at the trailing planet, as I said, it was Uranus up until the end of April, but now it's actually Jupiter. So that's the one we're talking about. So this one is a counterbalance to that leading planet. So hopefully it's like you've got this train and you've got the choo-choo at the front going forward, the engine, but the guy at the back, he's still paying attention to what's falling off at the back.
Gotcha.
Or who's jumping on the back or what's going on at the back there. So it can be this counterbalance and add depth to the whole chart's dynamic. So in this case, we're talking about Jupiter, which is a great planet. So this brings supportive energy to the chart.
Yes.
And again, Jupiter could be strong if Sagittarius is rising or Jupiter's on the midheaven or something like that, then it would it's an indication of a hidden strength when it's the trailing planet, because it's kind of the last one through the door, but it's still there and it still needs to be counted. And it also indicates areas where they have untapped potential because they're so busy with all the front runners going through the zodiac, basically. So this trailing planet can also represent the inner world, if we're talking psychology now, the subconscious or the emotional landscape.
Okay.
So where this is more an introverted side, whereas the leading planet is a more extroverted energy.
Right. Interesting.
And it does bring some balance to whatever. If you've got a very difficult leading planet, which in this case we do, it's Pluto. It's
right.
Not going to be missed. Jupiter can bring some balance and some stability to that. And the trailing planet will have influence on the leading planet. It can either harmonize or bring challenges, and it does depend on both. And I think in this case, Jupiter's going to bring some balance to the Pluto killer instinct that's unfolding.
Yeah. So I was looking for some celebrities, and it's kind of hard to, I don't actually have a software program on my computer right now that'll search by chart shape.
Yes.
Although if you do, that would be an interesting way to do, you know, a little bit of research. Because I always like to find celebrity examples. I think that that's really interesting because we kind of feel like we know these people. And the two examples that I found just on a cursory search with this shape in their chart are Harrison Ford and Sylvester Stallone.
Right.
Which is interesting because the description of this chart shape is that they're very specialized, they're very fixed, they're very focused, and there's a kind of a superhero element to that where they're, you know, it's kind of the Superman, you know, with
Action
a fist
man.
Forward. Yeah, exactly. So,
Great. Do you have their charts? Do we know what their leading and trailing planets were?
So, yeah, Harrison Ford. And if you, as a listener, would like to check out Harrison Ford's chart, you can just search Harrison Ford astrology chart, find it easily. And he has the ascendant in Libra, Neptune in the 12th house, which would be his trailing planet. I don't know if the ascendant counts, but so it's Neptune and Virgo in the 12th house would be the trailing. And then Taurus, Uranus and Taurus in, looks like the 8th house, but just barely. So everything is between basically the 12th house and the 8th house. And just that one planet in the 8th house, everything else is between 9th and 12th.
Yeah.
Literally everything. And as a massive celebrity. In fact, the old...
Huge.
Yeah, like the old fame tracker, the wonderful website from the late 90s, early 2000s, if anyone remembers, if you know, you know, used to have their fame meter. So anyone who was like, it was a weekly thing of like, who's famous, more famous today, who's like lower on the scale of fame, like you're, and Harrison Ford was like the sun in it because he's like the most famous of all, which is hilarious because all of this stuff is in the transpersonal houses for him.
Yes.
So it's literally all like about being a celebrity for him.
And interestingly enough, if you said he had Uranus in Taurus, he must be what, 84, give or take a whisker.
He was born in 1942, so yeah.
Yeah, so, you know, we again got Uranus in Taurus, right?
Yeah,
so
this and he's been a celebrity since, like, God, you know.
And he's still, I mean, they've got Lego characters about him.
Oh, God, yeah, action figures, Lego characters. Everything.
And I think the thing is, too, that he stayed in his genre, didn't he, when he was an actor?
Yeah.
So did Stallone.
Yeah,
he stayed
in Stallone, exactly. But, I mean, arguably, as we were talking about, which one would we like to talk about? Well, you know, they're both great celebrities,
yeah.
But we like Harrison Ford a bit more.
And he seems a bit more friendly, doesn't he?
He does.
Someone you take home to mother.
Yeah. He's probably carried a machine gun in some of his roles, but you don't picture him automatically with one, no pun intended. Automatically. Anyway. But yeah, I mean, my God, he was Indiana Jones. He was Deckard from Blade Runner. And, of course, you know.
Star Wars.
Exactly.
So yeah. Yeah.
If you were of our age or slightly younger or slightly older and you didn't at some point have a crush on one of his characters, like, were you even watching movies?
Well, there you go. So you heard it here first.
Right.
So there you have it. So Harrison Ford has a bundle chart. It's leading planet is Uranus.
Yeah.
He came from nowhere, suddenly became famous. And honestly, his roles, I think, are those that you think, you know, the guys like you because they think, oh, I could do that. I could run up a mountain and I could dash down a waterfall or whatever he's up to.
And say something sexy and dashing and win all the girls' hearts. And
exactly. Yeah. He's not a dangerous man. He's like,
He's, I mean, as Indiana Jones, you know, he's like the smart guy, but also the adventure guy, but also the rakish, you know, rakish, but not in a... predatory way, like
this is it. And even his role as the archaeologist, he actually works in some dusty classroom in some university in some grubby little blazer with patches on his
with
sleeve.
All of the girl students just staring at him with like, I hate you. Yeah, with the eyelids.
And then he goes off and does these amazing adventures, which we'd all love to do.
Yes.
So I think that really is what his appeal has been as well. And of course, that what can I say, Uranus and Neptune. And he still lives on, doesn't he?
Yeah. Absolutely.
So that's a great example of a bundle chart. And anyone, of course, born the same week he was born would have the bundle too. Right. There are bundles that do occur, but they don't come around all the time. So that's why we're talking about this one now for 2024.
Yeah.
Great.
Yeah.
So one other thing I just want to mention about these chart shapes is that even if you are just an astrologer and you don't even know what the actual planets are, if you see the shape, and this is what I've got on the blog post, with the dots in it, and you know what the shape is, you still can say something about this person without knowing exactly, is that Jupiter, is that Mars, is that the moon, blah, blah, blah. So instead of going straight to, oh, I've got Venus and Taurus, you want to be saying, oh, I see this is this shape. Now, also, when you have specific shapes within a chart, they can become as mandalas that you can meditate upon. Now, frequently when I do consultations, I will actually have the physical chart in front of me and I'll be concentrating on this shape to try and meditate, to get in tune with what's going on with this chart.
Yeah.
By dismissing exactly what the planets are, but just realizing we've got this shape, we've got this concentration, we've got a leader, we've got a follower.
Yeah.
And it's something, it says something about the psyche of the person.
Yeah.
So you need to take a step back from rushing in to say, oh, you know, Mars in Taurus or whatever.
Yeah, without getting into the details, that is really neat. Yeah. And actually, that is one of those things which, as you know, we always say we have a lot of planets in Virgo, so we're like, we want to focus on the details and delineate all the stuff and all this. But
that comes later.
Exactly. Yeah. And this Harrison Ford chart is such a great example, because I never would have thought, if I had just seen like, oh, he's a, you know, Cancer with Libra rising, and I would have been like, I don't know. I can't really. But more importantly, when you see his chart, when you look at it, it automatically jumps out. That's the first thing you see, is that everything is clustered into this little tiny quadrant.
So it becomes as a mandala that you can say, well, this is the shape I'm concentrating on here.
And that's the most important thing. When you see his chart, that's the first thing that will jump out at you is how clustered everything is into one little area. And as the astrologer looking at his chart, that's the first thing you're going to want to talk about.
Exactly. You want to know, what's the leading planet?
Yeah.
That's got to be the first question when you're looking with these charts. So that's something I just wanted to toss
in
there as
well. It's one of those neat things about the holistic / you know, I don't know, is it magical? Is it metaphor? Whatever, where it's not just about the details, but it's about there's something going on. You know,
there definitely is.
Yeah.
There definitely is. And the reason I only go from the sun to Pluto and I dismiss Chiron and Eris and blah, blah, because the more you add in, the less you can see the shape, because then it's just totally blurring.
Right.
And of course, you will have astrologers who say, well, I use Chiron, I use Eris. Well, good for you.
And all the asteroids and all this.
Yeah. No, because you want to find where's the main energy shape.
Yeah.
And that's what you're looking for when you're talking about chart shape.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
So that's been great, Arwen. We've been chatting about the bundle chart shape and chart shapes in general.
Yeah.
And to our listeners, if you've got this far, we're so happy to have you with us.
Yeah.
If you found value in this episode, please do share it with somebody else. And we invite you to email us at starsology@gmail.com. And when you do, please just say that you heard about us from the podcast.
Yeah.
And then you can check out our website at starsology.com for other information on astrology.
And let us know if there's a topic you'd like us to cover. And thanks for listening.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So, Arwen, thank you so much for being here today. It's been lovely having you.
It's lovely being here. Thanks, Allison.
Thanks so much for getting this far through the episode. I just want to take a moment to tell you about the two main options of my astrology services. So the first one is coaching. If you are an aspiring astrologer, and by that I mean someone who's perhaps a hobbyist astrologer, or someone who's learning astrology, or a student, or you've got a few books and you've been doing it for a while, but perhaps you need a little bit of help to bring it all together, then maybe getting some astrological coaching from me would be the answer for you. The astrology coaching I offer is a one-hour session on Zoom, and it's tailored to answer your particular questions. For example, if you have issues with natal chart readings, we can go there. Or if you're having problems working with your forecasting, we can go there. Or even basic astrology stuff, or even getting yourself organized for your astrology business. The idea is that astrological coaching will answer your particular questions. It's tailored specifically to you and where you are in your astrological journey. And I'm happy to help you out with some guidance about how you can get going, what to focus on, and what to dismiss. So that would be the astrological coaching for people trying to learn astrology. The second astrological service I offer is consultations. So this is for someone who perhaps doesn't know anything about astrology, but they just want to have their chart read or get their chart done. Call it what you will. So once more, this is a 1-hour consultation over Zoom. I will interpret your chart, tell you about the main features, tell you about where the energy is flowing, and all the rest of what is entailed in a thorough natal chart interpretation. I can also add in some forecasting in there too, bearing in mind we only have 1 hour. So just in summary, I've got coaching for people who want to learn astrology, and I've got consultations for those who want to get an astrology reading done. I'm Alison Price from starsology.com. Thank you so much for listening. We'll see you next time.